Last Sunday, we started addressing a particular concept in the Word of God. We talked about the difference between receiving and having. We established the truth from the Word of God that receiving does not mean that you have. And if you don't understand that particular concept, you live a very frustrated life as a believer. The Bible says to us that when we ask, we receive. Amen? In fact, the Word of God says to us in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, and particularly the 10th verse, it says, for everyone, someone say everyone. Is anyone excluded from everyone? No. Everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, because God is a God of all flesh. Are you with me so far? Everyone that asketh, receive it. That is a matter of fact. Everyone, when you ask, you receive. Let me say that again. Everyone that asks, what? Receives. Now, when we understand that, in our natural mind, we think, okay, I received it, that means I have it. No. You receive it in the realm of the Spirit. Once you ask for it, it is dispatched to, let me put it this way, to a bank. It goes to that bank. Now, you need to download it from that bank to you for it to be made manifest. You ask for it, the order is filled. Hello? When you ask, the order is what? Filled. Third time, when you ask, the order is what? Filled. When you ask for it, the Bible says you receive it, and the word for receiving is the word lambano. It's a Greek word, it's a simple word, lambano. It means to claim. So when you ask, claim it. Claim it as yours. Did you hear that? Okay. Claim it. Claim it to yourself. Lambano means to claim something to yourself. It's like saying, that belongs to me. Get it? Okay. So when you're asking, you should also have the sense that that which I ask belongs to me. Now, that is key. Because understanding that first step is crucial not only to having, because there is another dimension to having, keeping. You can have something and not keep it. Okay? Are you with me so far? So this first stage of receiving, claiming it to oneself, it belongs to me, means that you have to, come, You have to, when you're asking for something, have a sense of responsibility to that which you say belongs to you. That means when it comes to you, you have to have a reason for that which you are asking. Oh, please help me, Lord. You have to have a reason for that which you are asking, because that which you are asking for, if it comes to you and you don't have a purpose or a reason for it, an assignment for it, you're going to lose it. Now, I've gone from step one to step three, but they are all together. Lord, I want a job. I receive it. It's my job. Okay, now you have the job. What are you doing with it? Complaining and griping about it? Guess what you're going to do? You're going to lose it. But when you know the reason why you got that job, you will keep it. For example, the Word of God tells us that we should not steal, but that we should labor with our hands or do our work so that we have seed to sow. So, if you want increase in your job, you want increase to continue to flow in that which you are doing, you must understand that your job is not your provider, but that your job is the place where you're getting seed to sow. And when you are faithful in sowing seed, then God has a reason to continue to multiply your seed sown. Help me. Did you get that? If you don't know the reason for a thing, you will misuse it or abuse it. And God is not into abuses. God wants you to receive, then have, and I'm going to come to that place of having, and then we're going to go from having to keeping. Amen? So, last week we settled that matter. We know from Psalm 84, verse 11, Psalm 84 and verse 11, the B part. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. God is a sun. What does the sun do? It sheds light so that you can see. But God also is not just sun that reveals. He is a shield. And what do shields do? Protect, defend. Yes? So God says, hey, I am your son, I am your shield, I'm going to expose what it is that is hidden from you, but not only am I going to do that, I am going to protect it. So the blessing I bring into your life, I am going to protect so that you don't lose it. And then it says, the Lord will give grace, that is his capacity, his empowerment, and glory. He says, the Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. The Lord will give what? Grace and glory. Empowerment, glory, the kabod of God, or in the New Testament would be the word doxa, which means all that God is. God will give you his empowerment and he will give you all that he has. Paul puts it this way, my God shall meet all of your needs according to his what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? And that he will do, not withholding any good thing from those who walk what? uprightly. Now we have that settled. That means God is not going to withhold anything, any good thing from me. So whatever it is I'm asking, I must be asking for that which is good, that which is honorable to God. And God says, I'm not going to hold it back from you. So if anything is being withheld, it is not by God. The two things that I must then address, am I walking uprightly before God? Or two, is there a demonic principality operating to keep from me what I have asked God for? A good example is found in the book of Daniel. Daniel is provoked by what Israel was experiencing. And he cries out to God, having read the word of God, recognizing that Israel was supposed to be in exile just for 70 years. And now 70 years is coming, and it didn't seem like anything was changing. And he cries out to God, seeking to know what to do. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to get out of this limitation that we're experiencing? And the same day that Daniel set his face to seek the face of God, the word of God says, God dispatched the answer through an angel called Gabriel. But he did not get that answer or the manifestation of that answer until 21 days after, because he kept on crying. God says, we've answered this guy. What is going on? Now, it's not that God doesn't know what's going on, but God was trying to get to us the idea of the fact that we've got to be persistent when we ask. If there's no manifestation, be persistent. So God sends his warring angel, Michael, the archangel Michael. And that angel Michael came and dealt with the spirit of pressure that was holding back the answer that Daniel was praying for. And when Gabriel came through, he told him, whatever it is you're asking for, God answered day one. But now, let me tell you more than what you asked for, and began to tell him about the end times. Why? What you were asking for, that's received already. I just came through because you were calling forth what it is that you want. There it is. But next stage. Because God doesn't send without a reason. Let me put this point loud and clear in your spirit. God doesn't send without a reason. Everything God said, he had a reason for. There is nothing about you that has no reason for existence. Every detail. God is a detailed God. Hallelujah. So, now let's go past receiving. What is it that we do to have? How do we move from receiving to having? The word of God tells us that we have what we say. You ask, you receive, but you have what you say. In Mark 11, it says, have faith in God. Have God's kind of faith. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. Key number one. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which he, what? Saith, shall come to what? Pass. Saith, shall come to pass. You know, the interesting thing about that word, have, is that the word actually means to be. It is the word esomai, esomai, to be. So, what you receive, you have to be. Now, it's interesting that the statement is the word to be, because to be means you're going to receive it, you're going to have it, but it has to have a purpose. That purpose is what it is to be. Whatever it is that you call it, that's what God calls it. Hello? I know that what I'm saying to you right now, for some of you, it is a little bit heavy, but your spirit understands it. Amen? Your spirit understands it. And I just want you to just remove every distraction, focus. I have received it, now I have it. Because I am saying that I have it. That's how this mountain is being removed, because of the presence of faith. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to address this same issue, but next time he's going to say it's about a sycamine tree. If you shall say to the sycamine tree, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it should or it would obey you. Amen? Now, I'm going to show to you from the Word of God how that is connected. Because this is where we lose the ball. We fumble it. The ball is thrown to us and we fumble. You understand what fumbling the ball is? You drop the ball. It's not that, you see, the person that the quarterback is throwing the ball to received it, but did not have it. That's why it fumbled. You get the point? So God wants us to connect with that ball and keep it. And when you keep it, you get to run. Where? To the end zone. So that you have a what? Touchdown. If you fumble it, there's no touchdown. Even if you caught it at the end zone and you fumbled it there, no point. Capish? Okay. We want to connect with the ball. Hallelujah. You want to connect with the ball. Sent, caught, received, had, but with a purpose. You don't catch the ball and stand in one spot. You stand in one spot, the defense guys are going to come from every direction. Boom. Break every bone in your body. You understand what I'm talking about? You're catching the ball for a reason. That's how you keep it. Amen? Hallelujah. In the realm of the spirit, it's the same thing. I have had so many experiences where I received it, I had it, but I did not keep it. I did not keep it because I did not give an assignment to the thing that I caught. If I gave you $20 million right now, boom, $20 million, you have it. You didn't just receive it, you have it. Do you know that if you don't have an assignment for that $20 million, you will not know where the $20 million goes? It will produce nothing. You have to give the $20 million an assignment. If you don't give that $20 million an assignment, you will have all kinds of relatives show up. I have this need, and I have that need. And before you know it, you're broke. But if you have an assignment for it, You know that a certain segment of that $20 million is supposed to meet particular needs, but that $20 million, God, what do you want me to do with it? What assignment? Oh, the assignment is to build apartments. The assignment is to start a business. Now, if somebody comes to me and starts asking me for $15 million of that $20 million because he has some need somewhere, and God has assigned me to use that money to build something, build a church, buy equipment, or whatever, I will just... So somebody can come and ask me, let's say I have $50 in my pocket, and that $50 has an assignment. The assignment is to buy books. And somebody comes to me and says, can I have $20? I say, I don't have money for you. Does that mean I didn't have $50? Because I have given the $50 an assignment, I don't have 20 for you. I don't have 10 for you. I don't have 5 for you. I don't have 1 for you, because this 50 already has an assignment. So next time you see me, go over here and I use it to get the assignment. You say, I thought you said you didn't have any money. Yes, I didn't have any money for you. I had the money for this. You understand? So, we've talked about receiving, we've talked about having, and we have that which we say. Now I want to shift from there to keeping. I've already introduced the keeping, but I'm going to be going between receiving, having, and keeping now. And the idea of keeping is the idea of giving an assignment to that which you have. Because when you don't give an assignment to that which you have, you lose it. Do you have that all settled so far? Okay. Now, these are not just spiritual principles for spiritual principles' sake. It's a principle of life and living. Let me give you a sense of what I'm talking about. Once upon a time, I was a very, very good guitar player. I had it. I could put a guitar right here in the back and be picking away. I didn't know all the chords. But whatever chords I knew, I played well. Then I stopped playing the guitar. And guess what? I don't have it. Once upon a time, I used to be a very, very good singer. When I open my mouth to sing, people are just, wow. I didn't use it. Guess what happened? It went bye-bye on me. Because you're not using it. Why are we staying here? Whatever it is you refuse to use, you lose. Are you with me? Whatever it is you refuse to use, you what? Lose. So part of keeping the promises of God is making sure that that which you have asked God for, that you don't hoard it. Or you're going to lose it. But not only are you going to lose it, you're not going to get more, because you have created a pattern of hoarding. People, I have noticed that those that give keep on giving. And it seems like there's no end of capacity to give. But those that don't give always struggle. Let me say that again. Those that give because they have an assignment with their giving always have to give. Those that don't give, always, without fail, struggle. Because their purpose is not what that which they are receiving and having is meant to produce. In God, seeking God first. And God says in his word, he says in Matthew, he says, don't concern yourself about what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, where you're going to stay, what you're going to drive, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. He says, I tell you what you got to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its purposes and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. He says, it's the Gentiles, people who do not know God, that worry about stuff. Worry about this and worry about that. Worry about this, worry about that. He says, you don't have to worry. Just seek me first. Everything is going to be added unto you. Praise the Lord. So, if you want to have and keep it, you've got to have one that is focal point, primary in your life. And that's what is going to turn your situation around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we together so far? So you ask to receive. You speak to have. And now, Psalm 33 and verse 9. Watch this. This is crucial because this, whatever it is I've been saying to you, is exactly how God operates himself. So Psalm 33 verse 9, talking about the creation of the world, and Mama's passages today talked about the creation of the world also. Amen? It says, for he spake, meaning God. God spake and it was what? Done. That's the receiving aspect. But then it says, he what? Commanded and it what? Stood fast. That means he kept by the word of command. Hello? So when God spoke, everything showed up. But he had to speak a word of command so that everything stayed. Many years ago, I had a wonderful experience. When God brought me here, before I came here physically, God brought me to this city while I was on my knees in San Bernardino, California. He brought me to a place on, what is it? Yes, Adsum and Pipeline. So I'm in this particular spot and Pipeline. I didn't know it was that place. All I saw was tumbleweeds and a barren land. And the Lord asked me a question, can there be life here? And I remembered while he was taking me through this vision, or trance, whatever you might call it. I remembered Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones, and I spoke back to God in King James language. I said, thou knowest. And he said to me, he said, say, let there be life. So I said, let there be life. And boom, I'm in this city. I didn't know it was Winnipeg. I didn't know where it was. But I saw the houses. I saw the buses, I saw vehicles, and where I was, and I stood there, and wow, and I got out of it. That was early 1980. About this time of 1980. Yeah, it will be about this time of the year of 1980. 2 weeks later, the Lord started speaking to me to come to Canada. I said, I'm not going to Canada. He said, why aren't you going to go to Canada? I said, there are igloos there. It's too cold. Till this day, I've not seen an igloo yet. So I'm debating with God and telling God, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. He said, you're going. And then he reminded me of a letter I had received from Moody Bible College in Chicago. I'd applied to go to Moody Bible College. I didn't know at that time that Chicago was just as cold. They had turned me down from going to Moody Bible College, and they gave me a list of other schools in the U.S. and Canada that I could apply to. And right there, I saw about 3 or 4 schools in Canada. I wrote to them. I had 2 weeks before heading back to Nigeria. And I said, God, if you want me in Canada, you got 2 weeks. You got to get me a school and all of those details. I wrote to all kinds of schools, and one of them was Winnipeg Bible College and Seminary, which is now called Providence. And within that 2 weeks, from me writing snail mail, it's not before computers, you know, today you can just type and bam, bang, bang, bang. You can pay online. No, none of that. I didn't even know where UPS went to, FedEx went to, none of that. Regular mail. I wrote to Winnipeg Bible College and the rest of them. Only Winnipeg Bible College responded. They responded and sent me the form. I filled out the form, put a deposit, sent it to them, and they sent back another form for me to be able to get something called a form I-20. I got all of that done within 2 weeks, and I had maybe 4 days left. Impossible. Do you understand? Impossible. Anyhow, long story, I went to Nigeria. Mama and I got married. We arrived here May the 1st. I still did not know that the place was Winnipeg. Not until, I believe it was 1985. Or 80, yeah, 85. That's what we said, Seven Oaks. 85. I'm driving down pipeline with Sister Esmeralda Clark. Our son, Andrew, was in the back seat. He was maybe 4 years old. And he's in the back seat and he points to an open field. And he says, Daddy, Daddy, Jesus Castle, Jesus Castle. Esme and I looked, we see nothing. Nothing. Just an empty field. I said, what is this kid talking about? We had our Bible study because it was the beginnings of we're starting the church, Seven Oaks Evangelical Church at the time. And one day I'm coming down that pipeline, boom, I'm back into that vision. Wow, this is the place God brought me. I saw it. And that's where my son was pointing to. It was where God brought me some 5 years before. And if I were to take you today, I can take you to the exact spot because the angle will add some. It's interesting, add some. Pipeline. I can take you to, I won't miss it by a meter if I miss it. All I need to do is just remind myself of where the angle that I was standing and move, and I'll see it. Boom. This is where God brought, this was where I was standing. In the realm of the Spirit. Now I tell you that long story only to tell you this. Because I learned a very interesting lesson. We started the church and we're doing a Jericho march. In fact, let me add one more point. Where I was standing, the apartments that were on the side are called Negev apartments. Negev stands for desert. It's a desert in Israel. Are you with me so far? So I knew for sure I was at the right place. That's when I knew for sure Winnipeg is the place I am supposed to be, because God brought me by the Spirit to Winnipeg before I got here physically. Are we together so far? Now, we decided we're going to claim that land. So we did a Jericho drive. Do you remember this? He's been with us from day one. We're doing this Jericho drive. And as we're coming down Lila, we come to the property area, I see this humongous building, church. I saw it. Wow. That's what my son was saying. I saw it. And we're driving, and I'm looking at it while we're driving, and all of a sudden it goes, shh. It was gone. I said, what was that? Well, I went trying to get the land without money, because I know it's supposed to be mine. And a company called Genster gets the whole of that property to build single dwelling homes, and that's what's there now, not the church. And I said to the Lord, what happened? You know what he said to me? He said, you did not command it to stay. I said, what? He said, you didn't command it to stay. It was there. You didn't command it. You have to command what you want to keep to stay. Huh? You mean I lost that property because I did not command it to stay? But instead of that, he gave us men and church. We are here at men and church, but we are not where God really wanted us to be. And in fact, the day he brought me to this place, he told me right here in front of this building, I'm about to make it a U-turn right in front there. He said, I tell you what, if you don't take this building, I will personally close this church down. He was relying on me to do something. And what I'm talking to you about today is of utmost importance. You've lost some things in your life because you've not learned how to command. You've not learned how to give an assignment to whatever it is God has given to you. And therefore, you don't have to have it. The fig tree that did not produce and fulfill the assignment of the Lord, you don't have a reason to live. You're not going to give fruit. It withered to its roots. Everybody has to have a sense of direction, a sense of purpose to keep whatever it is God has for them. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So, you command. The word for command means to give commission to give an assignment to, so that you can keep what God has given to you. Anything you don't give an assignment to or have a reason for, you will not keep. You will fumble the ball. You will drop the ball. It will not be yours. You've got to give. If God gives you something, give it an assignment. Now, are we together? Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, I'm going to take it off from verse 5. The Lord was talking to the disciples about not taking offenses. Now, I think I might have said something about that last Sunday, but let me say this. One of the things for a fact that will cause you not to be able to receive at all is offenses, unforgiveness. You understand? Because offenses will cause your heart to be hardened. And when your heart is hardened, you will not hear from God. And if you don't hear from God, you will not have something called faith. Yes? Are we together? Okay. Faith in God is what turns your life around. But it's dependent on your capacity to hear. So, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about offenses and forgiving. And the disciples respond and say to him, Lord, increase what? Our faith. Increase our faith. You're telling us some serious things here, and we know that it's true, but increase our faith. So now the Lord Jesus Christ is going to talk to them about faith. So let's go to the next verse. It says, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it what? It should obey you. It should obey you. If you had faith, you say to this sycamine tree, be uprooted, be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, our first sense, remember he says, they said, increase our faith. Amen? Now, Jesus is talking about faith and the connection to the sycamine tree. Now, two things are being addressed here. Number one is, of course, the sycamine tree that's supposed to be planted, that's supposed to be sown. But the real thing that he was talking about, come, it's not the sycamine tree. He's really talking about faith. The emphasis is on faith. Faith is that which is going to be planted in the sea, and if it is sown in the sea, it will prosper in the sea. Sea many times represents mankind, people. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't see it yet. Come with me. If you just stopped at verse 6, you'll think the emphasis was on the sycamine tree. But now, look at this, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, we say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Oh, Lord Jesus, you just went to something else. No, he didn't. He didn't. What is he saying? Remember, increase our faith. And he's still on the subject of faith. And so when he talks about this servant that plows, he's not talking about anything else but faith. Faith is that which is your servant that is going to plow for you. And he says, when faith has completed what it's doing and comes and says, I've finished what I'm supposed to do, he said, give it another assignment. Is this too much? Or you're looking at me cross-eyed. I know this is a lot. But he's saying, give faith an assignment. Don't let faith stop working. Faith that is not used, you will lose. Don't ever arrive in the use of faith. Faith, you've done this. Now I need you to do this. And I need you to do that. And I need you to do this. And I need you to do that. Because faith is your servant. It's there to serve you. Did you hear what I said? Faith is there to do what? Serve you. Increase our faith. Well, if I give you that faith, what are you going to do with it? Cause this sycamine tree. Now, I did a full message on the sycamine tree and how impossible it is for it to be uprooted. It's like a mountain, grounded with all its roots. You can't get rid of it. We're saying that impossible situation, give it faith, an assignment to move it. Move it. And when faith has accomplished what it's supposed to do, give that faith another assignment. And give it another assignment. And give it another assignment. It is there to serve. Don't let it go sit down and eat nothing. Give it an assignment. And when faith has done what it needs to do, you need to feed it. How do you feed it? You feed it with the Word of God. So the Word of God that you know today is only sufficient to help you accomplish the things that you're accomplishing now. If you want more done, you got to give faith what it needs, which is the Word of God that you stand on, and your obedience to the Word of God, and that is what is going to bring about the next level of results that you desire for your life. That's how you keep it. That's how you continue to increase. And every one of us need to practice it. I have to practice it. You have to practice it. And as we practice it, we become greater and greater and greater. Now, let me go somewhere else to establish this keeping aspect. The Bible tells us in Psalm 133 and verse 3. The next thing that's of utmost importance for you keeping your result is unity. Somebody say unity. Say it again, unity. One more time, unity. The Word of God says in Psalm 133, it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil, the anointing that was poured on the head of Aaron that ran down his skirts. Round down his beards and down his skirts. It says, it is, verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded thee blessing, even life forevermore. The commanded blessing comes in the place where unity is. Now that unity is about you and I being in unity together. But it's also about you being in unity in the realm of the spirit, spirit, soul, and body, aligned together to the Word of God. That's where the commanded blessings of God come. If you are all confused on the inside, the blessings are not going to come and stay. You received it, but you will not have it. And if you had it, you will fumble it and not keep it. There will be no result If you want results, you've got to keep it. Have it, keep it. Have it, keep it. Have it, keep it. Have it, keep it. But keeping it is you giving it an assignment. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the aspect of unity. If you're going to have it and keep it, you've got to be in unity. Now, that's so important that when the people were building the tower, God said, there's nothing that they set their minds to do that they will not be able to accomplish because they are in unity. So what did God do? He caused them to be separated. And how did he cause them to be separated? He caused them to be separated based on what they were saying. Are we together? So when we reverse engineer the whole thing, we find out that your saying is what helps you to keep it, to have it. And that God understood that as long as they were saying the same thing, they were going to accomplish anything that they set their minds to do. Capish? I feel like I'm teaching a university course to primary school students. But I know your spirit is getting it. Your spirit is getting it. And it is going to transform everything about us for His glory. Amen? It is time for us to hear this so that we have and we keep. Now, next passage I'm going to take you to, and I'm going to wrap with this for now, is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. God talks about the commanded blessing in verse 8. But let me take it up. I'll read right through real quickly from verse 1 and get to 8. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments." Notice there's an assignment, a reason, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above the nations of the earth. This time I'm going to set you up on high above the nations of the earth. He says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." If you listen, you pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God, all these blessings are going to come. They are going to come on you. They are going to overtake you if you just listen. He says, "Blessed shall thou be in the city." You're going to be blessed in the city. "Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." Praise the Lord. "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause an enemy that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." And then verse 8, "The Lord shall command the blessing." The Lord shall do what? Command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God, what? give it thee. He bless you in the land that he gives you when you observe to do. Amen. Then it says in verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, or walk uprightly. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called, that thou art called, that thou art called by the name of the Lord. You are called by what? The name of the Lord. You are called by what? The name of the Lord. You are called by what? The name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee, because you are called by the name of the Lord. What does that mean? You are called by the name of the Lord because you are a representative of God. And as a representative of God, you do things the way God does them. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stayed. It was established. It was kept. Amen? But notice, God, when he planted everything, what did he say to the plants and to the animals? What did he say to the people? Be what? Fruitful, multiply. He gave an assignment. Hallelujah. He gave what? An assignment. And the fig tree that did not fulfill its assignment because it said, it is not my season, what? Died. When God calls for something, produce it. If you don't produce it, you don't have a reason to be there. He'll sweep you out. And not only is that swept out, you lose out. You continue to lose from that point on. What is the point to all of this? It is this. I want to receive, but I want to keep it and continue to make whatever it is that I keep to keep on producing. What is my purpose in your life? If I don't have a purpose in your life, you will separate from me. You'll die away from my life. But as long as I have a purpose in your life, in essence, I am relevant. Because you make me relevant, you will always be connected with me and will always continue to grow. As long as I know your purpose in my life, I will have you. But when I don't have a purpose for you, you will be separated from my life. So everybody needs to have something that they are doing. People that stop connecting by doing something and just sit like a lump, bump on a chair are not going to stay. Do you understand? If you're going to clean your house, the advice is that if you've not used this stuff for the last 6 months, you don't need it. Just toss it. Don't even look at the box. Is that what they say? Mm-hmm. I don't do that. So I have a lot of stuff that is piled until I go get rid of them and say, oh, you got to go. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go help somebody else. You got to go. And as soon as I move things out, guess what happens? I get new stuff. It is the old stuff that I'm not using that is clogging my capacity to have. Let's do something here. Elder Andrew, please come. Stand sideways so people can see. Okay. Here, take this. As long as you're holding to that, if I give you this, can you take it? With one hand. That means you're going to have to let one hand off. Yeah? Okay. Imagine that you're keeping something and God is trying to give you some more. And now you can't get it, but you are asking for it. You keep on asking, God, give me this, give me this. But your hand is full. You can't have it because you've not given this in your hand an assignment. Now give this an assignment. Give it to Lindsay. Now, don't go yet. Now, when I give you this, you can hold it with two hands. You couldn't have held it before. I ask you a question. What are you holding on to that is keeping you from having? Well, you ask, you received it, but you're holding on to stuff. You've not let it go. And you want to have it. It's not going to happen. Did you hear what I said? It is not going to happen. And guess what is going to happen? You're going to be frustrated like a little kid trying to open the door and can't open it and start kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and crying. The kicking and crying, will it open the door? Do you want to have? Thank you. I ask the question again. Do you want to have? I ask it one more time. Do you want to have? Then tell me what things you need to do so you can have. Give me an answer. If you understood anything I've been talking about, I gave you at least the capacity to give me at least three answers. Keep saying, okay? Give that which you have an assignment. That's bottom line. Give it an assignment. Command it to do something. Because that which you give no assignment with to will die. It will be separated from you. And you will not have it. You will be fumbling, just fumbling the ball consistently. Fumble, fumble, fumble. Not because the quarterback is not doing his thing. The quarterback, what do they call the person that catches the ball? They call him a what? A receiver. I'm not a football person. But as a receiver, you ask for it when you were huddling and saying, hey, throw the ball to me. Okay. You got to position yourself, receive it, but keep it. Don't go. While you're fumbling it, somebody else can get that ball and what do they call it? Huh? An interception. And the ball goes the other direction. Yeah? Is that what you want? So what are you not going to do? What are you not going to do? Talk to me. You not fumble the ball. How do you fumble the ball? by not keeping it. And you don't keep it because you don't what? You don't have an assignment for that ball. The assignment for you to run in that direction and have a touchdown. So the ball's assignment, watch this, the ball's assignment is for you to have a touchdown, but you have to be one with that ball to have that touchdown. Hello? Okay, I'll stop there. Rise with me. Say with me, first of all, Father, I receive grace to know what my assignment is. You have a reason for me. I'm not just here for no reason. You have a purpose. You have a destiny for my life. I become one with that destiny right now. I receive wisdom to know why I am here, so I can do that which you've called me and assigned me to accomplish as an individual, as a family, as a church. We receive our supernatural, God-given assignment and purpose. We align ourselves to your will, and we say, Father, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We receive, we have, we keep, and we give an assignment to faith to continue to cause us to win new grounds, to overcome as victors, never victims, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I have an assignment. I am fulfilling my assignment. I'm living out the God kind of life because I have the God kind of faith. I will never fumble. I will never stumble. I walk uprightly, doing and observing your command. Your commanded blessings are on my life. I am established by your command. Everything in my life is established by the command of your word. Thank you, Father. Your word is in my mouth, and it is declaring, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And that which is has its assignment to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, and to subdue by the authority of your word and your will operating in my life. Therefore, I speak to my body. Body, you are to be healthy and whole. Your assignment is to make sure that my spirit fulfills its assignment. So, body, you will not resist me. Soul, you will not resist the Spirit of God in me. You will do the will of God and make certain that God's kingdom is manifested in me and through me. I will shine as light in the world to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, thank you, Holy Spirit. that you are my teacher. You are my revelator. You are my comforter. You are the one who gives me confidence. Your role in my life is to see to it that every prayer I need to pray is prayed righteously. Therefore, I will receive that which you are praying for me in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are my intercessor. Lord, intercede for me. You are my mediator. Mediate for me. You are my deliverer. Deliver me. Lord Jesus, be everything you said you want to be in my life. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Son. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that all is well in my life. Everything is working together for my good. All things work together for good for them that have been called, loved by God. I am called, I am loved, and I have been called according to his purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more time, praise the Lord. Even all things work together for your good. And the end of the verse, according to his what? Purpose. If there is no purpose, it's not going to work together for your good. So the last statement I make to you now is this. If you're going to ask for it, know the reason why you're asking for it, so that when it shows up, it has an assignment. But let me put it this way. If you give me a son, I will give him to you. You will have your prophet. Remember that prayer? It caused a barren woman to have. You get it? But what she had, she gave an assignment to. Did you receive it? Say, I receive it. Into my spirit, into my soul, into my body, into my life. By faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're seated. Hallelujah. So now, we're going to honor God with our giving. And guess what we're going to do with our giving? We're going to give it what? Give it an assignment. You're going to give your giving what? Okay. You're going to give your giving what? So when you put your offering, tell it what it's going to go do. If you don't know what it's supposed to do, say this, Father, speak for me. Amen? Father, I don't know what. Speak for me. And the Father will speak for you. And this is the last Sunday of the month. What is the last Sunday of the month? Missions Sunday. Okay? So we have given an assignment to what we will do with a particular offering on the last Sunday of the month. It is for missions. So today, I encourage you to give a special offering for missions. If you're able to put it on the same envelope, okay. But if you can take a second envelope and just write missions on it. souls, lives changed. Mark it out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's do that. Go ahead, give your offerings and your mission offerings. Has everybody been served communion? Okay, if you've been served communion, I'm going to ask Mama to come. Is there anyone here today who say, you know, Pastor, I'm here. And I'm giving myself an assignment. And that assignment is, today, you're going to be saved. You're going to give your life to God and surrender your life wholly unto the Lord. That's what I'm speaking over my life. Just raise your hand. If there's anyone like that. Okay. Praise the Lord. Then everyone has done so. Amen. Well, rise with me. You have something to say? You have something to say?
You want me to say something?
You have something to say.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, when I was sitting there, I don't have anything to say right here, but if I say something, I was just saying that I hope that I kept saying from where I was, from my spirit. I pray that the message you heard today, don't be casual with it. Take it very serious. I don't know how you can get a copy. I know we used to do CD. I don't know what they do these days. Whatever they do to get a copy, try to get a copy and go through it again. I think the messages you've been hearing lately have been life-changing. Don't be casual with them, including the one I preach. Take them serious. Those are life tools that you're going to use, especially in these last days. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Amen. That's it. Well, this is the body of the Lord. He said that whenever it is that we come together and we eat of this, we should do it, what?
In remembrance.
You see, he gave it an assignment. So I want you to take this and say, Lord.
Lord.
I remember you.
I remember you.
And I eat.
And I eat.
From that place of remembrance.
From that place of remembrance.
Make us one.
Make us one.
That we may reveal.
That we may reveal.
The person of our Lord.
The person of our Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
As your body.
As your body.
Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat.
Somebody say, I'm not a forgetful hearer.
I'm not a forgetful hearer.
I remember.
I remember.
I receive.
I receive.
I have.
I have.
And I say.
And I say.
And I send.
And I send.
The purposes of God in my life. The
purposes of God in my life.
Assignment.
Assignment.
From this day on.
From this day on.
I utilize. What I have heard.
What I have heard.
And I will receive.
And I receive.
Continuously.
Continuously.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Take and drink.
Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have the lyrics to that song? Do we have it? Okay. Praise the Lord. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your peace. The Lord is your joy.
Amen.
The Lord is a God who opens your eyes to see opportunities and grants you the grace, the capacity, the ability to seize every opportunity and manifest the will of God. I pray and I declare over everyone here today that the reason for you be made manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And live fulfilled in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is anyone here for the first time? Sit down. I'd like to say hello to you. First time? Okay. I'll come to you in a moment. First time? I'll come to you in a moment. So please don't go until I say hello. And the rest of you, please, let's just greet those that are on Zoom. We'll say bye to those that are on YouTube and Facebook. And we'll say
praise
hello to
God.
Brother John.
Hi, Brother John.
You're
Shalom.
Always number one.